Good evening. I was blessed by what was shared, and you know, the thought that Brother Ron brought, that as young people, the church needs you, the Lord needs you, and you know, that verse that says, "Let no man despise the youth." I believe it brings a thought that don't allow the world to belittle you. You know, live up to your commitments. Keep yourself pure. Stand up for right. We need stable young men and women in the church today. Before I go into my message, I'd just like to convey greetings that Brother Laban Krop asked me to share to the church here, and we had the opportunity to meet with him today. Laban has been working with us in Belize, and sometimes we wonder what the Lord has in mind for him. They're up here in immediate physical, I would say, health needs, and we just want to continue to pray for them. I wouldn't want to go without conveying that message that he asked me to share with you all. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I want to read tonight from verse 1 to 11. Verse 1 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when ye live in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." I'd like to just stop there tonight, use this as more of a text here. Understanding and identifying the sins of the Spirit. As I started this message, I believe that God has really, taught me so much, values, so much insight of something I believe that it's so needful today amongst God's people. One of the things that I want to say tonight is God abhors sins. God hates sin. I believe that it is so important today. We're living in an age when people start labeling sin or categorizing sin. The Bible says that the soul that sin, it shall die. Whether we speak of sins of the flesh, sins of the spirit, sins of omission, and I believe the Bible tells us enough that sin will separate us from God. And it's very important that we see sin as sin. You know, I believe that there are many today people that compromise with sin, and they would even call sin good. I ask myself the question, where does this start? Do we start doubting what the Word of God says? Maybe I'll read a couple verses more. You don't have to turn to it. But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, he says, "Sin is transgression of the law." When we break God's law, it is sin. We can't go around it. We have to say that it is sin. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 says, all unrighteousness is sin. Or unrighteousness means wickedness, unjust, evil. We know what that God has called us to righteousness. God has called us to a standard of righteousness as pertained to His attributes, His holiness. God wants us to be little Christ as we are here on earth. The Bible says that in Jesus there was found no sin. There was no guile. And that is what God expects of Jesus' followers. We know that sin separates us from God. Sin will keep us out of heaven. Sin is spiritual death. Sin is a disease of the soul. We need to look at sin the way God looks at sin. He hates it. It displeases Him. And as Christians, we should have the same attitude towards sin. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3, it says, let not it once be named among you as become a saint. That's how God takes sin. He doesn't want His people, His children, to be involved with sin. You know, the Word of God tells us, it not only tells us that we should put off these things, but it tells us how we should behave ourselves. And you know, as I think of, I believe this is what we want to, what we're gearing for as we think of the sin of the Spirit. You know, the things that sometimes we can be so involved and it's so deceptive that we can even think that, well, it's not too bad. You know, and maybe people can't even see it in my life. I want to think of pride, the sin of pride. It's so deceptive. You know, pride can work anyway. You know, maybe I puff up myself. I think I'm better than you. The things that I have, I value more than you. But it can also turn the way around where we can be so, have self-pity. And we think we're good for nothing. You know, I'm not as good as you. It's so deceptive. The Bible says if we're new creatures, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are to become new. Everything changes. I mentioned the other night that we all believe, the Bible says too that, you know, for all have sinned. All of us have sinned. But yes, God has made provision that we can live in victory. We can live separated from sin. I don't believe there's an excuse here that we can find tonight to be involved in sin. I remember one time there's a bumper sticker that was on a car that said, "The devil made me do it." You know, it seems that that's what people are using today to be indulged with sinful practices. Are you becoming more like your Savior? Are you hating sin? Are you abstaining from sin? Are you saying no to Satan when the temptation comes? Are you closing the door? Or are there things that are hidden in your life that God is watching down tonight, and maybe you can hide it from everyone, but God knows what's deep down in your heart. The first verse there in Colossians, in the verse, I believe that helps us to look at life from God's perspective. You know, seeking those things that are eternal. Those things that have eternal value. When we get involved in the work of God, in His will, You know, we don't have time to be meddling with the sins of the spirit or sin in general. God gives us so much things that we can occupy ourselves with, things that are enjoyable to our own well-being. But you know, we know the tempter is there, the enemy is there, knocking to and open doors that we turn our eyes from Christ. What is your perspective in life? How do you look at things? Today, God gave you hours to work. You know, how much was it invested for the kingdom of God? Or how much time did you give room that Satan could step in and bring temptation? As we think of sins of the spirit, how it affects the brotherhood today, the church. You know, Satan will use anything to destroy us. He doesn't want to see us live in unity, in love. And so he brings pride, anger, malice, bitterness, envy, jealousy. You know, and those things we try to conceal them so long. But you know, inside it's doing its damage. And if we leave these things to go on, what disunity it can cause. What am I doing to promote unity, to promote love in the brotherhood? You know, we hear people say today in anger, in wrath, I will give, especially if somebody offends us, they say, I will give that person a piece of my mind. But you know, whenever we give someone a piece of our mind, is we stay without our mind. And that's when Satan can use us to get more, we'd say, in wrath and respond in ways in which we can be destructive to others. When we keep our eyes on Christ, when we seek those things which are above, you know, we see how we can be of help to each other. The Bible tells us many times that we need to love each other. We need to care for each other. We need to comfort each other as we see the day approaching. We need to bear each other's burden. We're to be a brother's keeper. There's a story that the brothers said one time, and I can't remember what it is, but it left an impression upon my mind that he said one time that there was these three men that were going up a steep mountain to their home one night after work. And you know, one decided that he'll go ahead, he'll start, because it was getting dark. But while they were on their way up, the first one left, and the two stayed behind. I guess they had other things that they wanted to do. But while they were on their way going up that steep mountain, you know, there's a blizzard came down. And it was dark. They couldn't see where they were going. And while the two that left last was going up, they were feeling their way. But while they were going up, they heard someone crying. Somebody slipped. I guess it was the first one that started out, missed the trail, and he slipped down. And he was asking for help. And these men were desperate because they thought they would never find home. Well, the first one said, well, it's best we leave him there. We need to find our home. The second one said, I don't think we should leave him there. And so the first one decided that he'll try to find his way home. And the second man, he decided to go and see word that man was making, was asking for help. And he got there and he reached him and he helped him. But the man was so weak that he couldn't walk. So what? This man just put him on his back and he started up the trail again. You know, they were feeling their way. They couldn't know where they were going. But as he came further up, he stumbled on someone that was laying on the road, on the pathway that they were supposed to find to their home. And here he stumbled on this man, and he had the one that was laying down there on his back. Well, you know, he couldn't help that one either, so he just kept going with this weight on his back. And, you know, he made it safely home. Later he found out that why he made it home was with the other man on his back. Their two bodies started warming each other, and they could have made it home. The one that didn't want to take time to pick up his brother or his friend, you know, he died before he got there. And I think that left an impression upon my heart. Sometimes we don't take time to carry our brother's burden. We feel that it's a hindrance. It's easier for us to be accusing, to be condemning, to get discouraged about each other. But you know, in this life, we're living in a world that is dark and cold, and we need each other. Whenever we open our hearts of love for each other, we can warm each other until we reach safely on the other side. Brothers, we can't deny the fact that in any body, in any group of people, there are differences. We do things different. God never made all of us the same way. He never intended that we be the same way. We do things differently. In our little church back home, we have a mixture of people there, of cultures. But you know, one brother went there one day and he said he admired how we can work together. You know, there's people with German background, there are people from different Central American countries, we have North Americans there. But you know, it's a joy that when we can work together, we have our differences. And I believe sometimes that it's so easy that we can find fault in each other. But I believe there's so much to do that we don't want to find time for that. I believe when, as God's people, we're not involved in reaching out, in spreading the gospel, we'll find time to turn against each other. We'll find time to accuse and to see the weaknesses in each other. And Satan loves that. It's not God's will that we as his people live in disunity. It's not God's will that we get angry with each other, that we get discouraged, that we get bitter. You know, God gives us his promises. When there's things that we need to work with, we can do it in love. We can wait on each other. We can prefer each other, the Bible says. I have learned that I need my brothers. I need at least one of them. There's some brothers in our church that are not even able to read. But I have learned and I have received a lot from them. They mean much to me. And I believe this is how we need to look at each other. There is potential in every one of us. Yes, there is. If we only look at our weaknesses, we tend to start finding fault. But there are strong points in everyone here tonight. There are strong points in every Christian. There are gifts, there are special abilities that God has given us. And you know, we do ourselves much good if we encourage each other in this way. James says in chapter 4, he says, from where comes war and fighting? Maybe I should just turn to that verse there. James chapter 4. He said, from whence cometh wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You know, as humans, it's so easy for us to get into confrontations. I think sometimes maybe people find fun in that. If there's not a stir within a group, a church, people find ways. But you know, as I think of what does the world see? You know, what does the world see when there are things that we need to work with? Can they see we take it from God's perspective? Or do we act just like the way the world did? We see so much cruel, attitudes towards people. People kill each other. People run over each other to get ahead in life. That is not the way the churches should be. Again, we should be stepping stones for each other. I should be willing to lay down my life that my brother can grow in his walk with God. In the church at times, as brethren, I feel like there's times when men fight for a position, for higher status, for more recognition. There's a tendency when we don't get what we want, we fight for it. Is that what God desires of us? Is that what He tells us in His Word? You know, I guess in Galatians, everybody says that we need not devour one another. There's another story that one of our bishop a lot of times used to say in Belize is, there were two dogs that were always fighting. He says, and they fight, they quarrel, they fight. He says, and later there were only two tails. They only saw two tails wagging at each other. Is that the way I would face a situation? Am I willing to give up the things that I think sometimes are the right things to do? Am I willing to give it up that my brother can see that we can sit down and work this thing together with God? Instead of aggressively trying to grab what we want, we should ask God to help us get rid of our sinful desires. You know, it's selfishness, it's pride, it's bitterness. These things push us to hurt each other. And you know, those scars are things that stay for long. We can never get rid of them. Can we, as God's people, trust Christ to give us what we really need? You know, all what we really need in this life is His blessings, that we can be faithful until He returns. There is nothing in this life. There is no name. There is no position that we need. But we need His blessing, His strength, that we can be ready when He is ready for us, when we're ready to go. The sin of bitterness, envy, selfish ambitions are inspired by Satan. You know, and sometimes we can even put a handle to it and say, for the purity of the church, for unity's sake. But you know, am I trying to push my brother down so I could be seen? What does God say about it? How does God look at it? You know, it is so easy to be drawn into wrong desires by the pressures of circumstances, and sometimes by even well-meaning Christians. Sometimes I believe that, you know, there is so much on the current, so much on the work, you know, that the evidence is there that Satan is having his way. You know, each one of us should be like hedges. We need to protect. We need to hold the body together that Satan has, that he doesn't have the upper hand of getting in and causing havoc amongst a brotherhood. I believe one of the next things that we see is that we try to compare ourselves among ourselves. The Bible says that this is not right. It is not right for us to compare ourselves among ourselves. You know, if we want to compare ourselves, we need to compare ourselves with Christ. How more I need to grow to be like Him. That should be your desires. Can I see in my life? Do I fall on my knees when I come to that secret place and ask God to search me, O God? See those secret sins that are in my heart and give me the grace to repent, to forsake. Or are we like the Pharisees that says, you know, I'm better than him. You know, I don't struggle with pride. I don't struggle with anger. Satan uses sin to divide God's people and to put them against each other. You know, the uncontrolled desire of a man can do much terrible damage in the church. A few words spoken in anger can destroy a relationship that took many years to build. Brethren, we're called to a nobler call. We're called to a higher call. You know, we need not lower ourselves to the lifestyle of this world. You know, where men use their passion to get their way through life. We are to live at peace among ourselves. We are to love each other, love the brotherhood. We are to bear each other's burden. We are to edify each other. You know, I believe that sometimes that's one of the secrets of getting over or bitterness or envying, is when we can come and lift each other up. You know, tell a brother you appreciate him. Tell him what you appreciate about him. You know, I believe sometimes we're shy to do that. But sometimes we're not shy to think evil of them. We know today we're closer than in eternity than we were yesterday. How does that affect you? You know, we confess that we're heading to that eternal city. But what are you doing about it to cultivate that relationship that a brotherhood should have? The sins of the Spirit will cause us to break down, to tear down. But if we walk in the Spirit, if we have love, we can learn to serve each other. As a brotherhood, there should be no barriers of social standing, whether we're wealthy, whether we're poor, whether we're for different nationality, whether we're educated, there should be no barriers. We're one. You know, we believe that God gives responsibility in the church as leaders, and I think as leaders we need to see ourselves as being more responsible to give account to God. But every member of the church has the responsibility to build each other up, to encourage each other. Jesus came to bring peace on earth. He came to give us peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Isn't that what we as his followers should be doing? Promoting peace. Are we filling that gap? I mentioned the other night that as we looked at our, when before Christ came, there was a gap. There was a gap made. Sin, we were separated from God because of Adam and Eve sinned there in the garden. But you know, Jesus was willing to come and fill that gap. He taught us how to build bridges, not walls. What are we doing? Are we constructing walls in a relationship? Or are we building bridges? Are we allowing that oneness can be experienced amongst us? Again, we can never overemphasize again that love should be the motivation towards our brotherhood. We need to have the love of Christ, the love of God. And also his peace should be the rule in our hearts. We need to experience that peace. You know, we can never share peace. We can never contribute to peace if we don't have peace between us and our Maker. And I'm thankful tonight that God made it possible that we can experience peace. You know, as God's people, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for what he has done for us. And be thankful for what he is doing for us and what he's going to do for us in the future. God's precious word should be the way of life. You know, we should pattern our life on what the sacred scripture says. We're to be examples of Jesus, little Christ. We're in this race together. And you know, there's many witnesses. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, it says, let me read that verse. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Where do you find yourself tonight? Are you laying down those sins? Are you laying down those things that can hinder you to finish this race? Or are they hindering you and making you hinder others? As I think of the sin of the Spirit, you know, I believe I need to open my life and ask my brothers to show me areas in my life where they see I'm struggling. But I should submit, open myself and admit when it can show areas in my life that they see that I'm struggling. You know, we do ourselves much harm when we try to hide, when we close up ourselves from our brotherhood. Sometimes I believe that it's easy for us to get up times of special service and for communion, and we make those expressions. But you know, how do we go about it when a brother comes to us, maybe when we know that we're struggling? Do I have a submissive spirit? Do I have an openness that he can come and share his concern with me? And also, I believe that we need to be open when we have judged others wrong. We can do ourselves a lot of good and do others when we know that we have made comments, we've made accusation, or we know we're wrong, that we can go back and ask forgiveness. The Bible says that considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. God wants us to be keepers of each other. We need to have that interest in each other. But I believe God wants us to go with a godly love, a godly fear. You know, there are times we make mistakes, but I believe it could be such a blessing when we humble ourselves and make those things right. Are we willing? Are we building God's kingdom? Are we allowing those sins that so easily beset us to hurt each other? I believe God wants us to be free. And again, I mentioned there that sin has its consequences. Sin will separate us from God. Sin will keep us out of heaven. Let's not try to reason a wrong sin. Let's not compromise what the Word of God is saying. But take sin awful. Look at it as God looks at it. May God give us the grace, the strength each day to live lives that are holy, keep ourselves from sin, and that we can be found faithful when He returns. May God bless each one.